Katie Halper here in studio. Michael G. Haskins. This is the morning show on commercial-free WBAI. 40 years ago, Vietnam, 40 years after the fall of Saigon. The country of Vietnam is celebrating the end of the war, but it's still, reconciliation is still fought, and is still fought with a lot of peril and uncertainty looking forward. Well, I'm joined on the line this morning by Doug Rawlings. Doug Rawlings wrote a piece in this month's edition of The Independent. That's I-N-D-Y, pendant, The Independent. And he joins us on the line this morning. Doug Rawlings wrote this piece titled, Don't Thank Me for My Service. Doug, good morning.
Good morning.
Thank you for joining us on the line this morning on WBAI. When you look back, before we talk about the piece per se, when you look back on Vietnam and your service, what are your impressions or what are your thoughts here this morning?
Yeah, I guess one of the things I want to point out is that those of us who served in Vietnam, and there are, you know, almost 3 million Americans, and by the way, you mentioned the 40-year anniversary. The Vietnamese people call it the American War in Vietnam because, of course, they fought wars against the French, the Japanese, the Chinese, whatever. Right. The history goes back, right, you know, hundreds of years of their resistance to imperial invasion. So as someone who was involved in that, as, you know, directly involved in that as a relatively young man, you know, I have great remorse about that experience. And those of us in Veterans for Peace who are putting together what we call our full disclosure movement, which is resisting the Pentagon's revision of the history of that war, revisit our time in Vietnam with some degree of reluctance, but also with some degree of necessity. We just can't have the Pentagon telling the history of that war without bringing in the experience of the Vietnamese and the Laotian and Cambodian people who also suffered during that war greatly.
Right. Doug, as a veteran myself, we think about looking back on that period of time, and service people were stretched all over the world, all over the globe. I happened to be in South Korea around the time. What regrets do you have? What remorse do you have? Let's be specific and tell people what those are.
Well, I was with an artillery unit in the Central Highlands of Vietnam from July of 1969 to August of 1970. And during that particular period of time, we were in supporting the 173rd Airborne. And during that particular period of time, we rained down artillery shells on the innocent people. And perhaps there were supposedly some combatants, but that I don't even consider that. But I consider what we used to call, as a matter of fact, harassment and interdiction rounds, where we just send out rounds sporadically. Not even called for any kind of a mission at all, just to sort of disrupt things, if you will. And over the period of time of, you know, the last 45 years, I have many moments where I could reflect upon where those shells landed and what they did to people who were trying to go about their daily lives, the Vietnamese people, and that causes me great anguish to think that I was part of that machine that did that.
What was your, hi, it's Katie Halper on the line. Thanks so much for talking to us today.
Sure.
I was wondering what your kind of aha moment was, how you kind of changed your opinion about what you were doing.
Well, you know, there are many moments, but I would, you know, if I could think of something in particular, I think the connection between looking into the eyes of the Vietnamese children that I saw, and then looking into the eyes of my, say, 2-year-old daughter, playing in the grass with me, and just reflecting back on the difference between the way they looked at me was an aha moment for me. And this was in the mid 70s. I got out of Vietnam in 1970, and you know, and my first daughter was born. My daughter was born in 1974. So that period of time when I started really looking at children, I think it's as close to an aha moment, I suppose, as I can identify at this point.
Right, and for me, the same things are being played out now, and some of our young people are being placed in harm's way all around the globe and are facing some of the same things that you and others had to face, or not knowing who was who in the various places around the world. But when you come to it, when you stop to think about it, and you only get this this understanding as a veteran after you've left the theater of conflict, if you will, that these people, the Vietnamese people or the Iraqi people or the Pakistani people, name the folks, they love their children too.
Right. You know, can you hear me now?
Yeah, go ahead.
Yeah. I'm currently working on I work at our Veterans Administration Hospital here in Maine, and I work on the psychiatric ward, and I'm leading veterans there through creative writing exercises and stuff, and trying to write poetry about their experiences. And that very topic came up, and there was maybe a dozen guys sitting around the room this particular session, and I'd say half of them were Iraq or Afghan war veterans. And the whole topic of children sort of dominated our conversation for about 45 minutes, and along exactly those lines that you just mentioned, you know.
Yeah.
The realization of what we had done, what we were doing.
Mm-hmm.
And these men who were in this particular session were not necessarily of the same political persuasion as I am, but it still, it sort of resonated with us, that whole realization of what we had done, and then our remorse, and for some of us, and say myself and Veterans for Peace, I've dedicated 40 years of our lives, a good portion of it, to sort of undo that, if we could possibly undo it, which we of course can't, but I suppose we try our best.
What do you, I'm interested in hearing from both of you. I didn't know you were a veteran, Michael, but what advice do you have to people as veterans in terms of how to talk about this issue in a way that doesn't alienate people who did serve or are actively serving? Because I know that's been kind of a problem often in terms of the framing of the issue in a way that doesn't kind of shame people into, kind of a paralysis or resentment.
That's an excellent question.
It is. It really
loaded.
Is. Yeah.
as you could well imagine, since we formed Veterans of Peace in 1985, our goal is to abolish war, and it's to do it and do it nonviolently. So we've been in confrontation with veterans who don't feel the same way we do. At first blush, most of the time, we're involved in parades and actions and arrests and occupations and all that kind of stuff. And we'll encounter veterans who, will immediately think that our organization is designed to diss the veteran.
Right.
And, we can counter that fairly quickly by saying, look, we're veterans.
Right.
We understand what's going on here. And what we try to do is create a non-judgmental, environment, if you will, where we just say, where were you? And, what was your service like? And all that kind of stuff. And then in that conversation, we start, touching on some common ground, right? And oftentimes, ironically, what we find are veterans who are pissed off at the government.
Right.
Not for the same reason we're pissed off at the government, but, so that gives us a sort of a way to start talking about this, that, and everything else.
All right, well, Doug Rawlings, as we wrap up the piece again in The Independent, Don't Thank Me for My Service, you're part of Veterans for Peace. Let's give folks the coordinates and information to find out more about Veterans for Peace.
The website, VietnamFullDisclosure.org, all one word, VietnamFullDisclosure.org. They would see our website about this particular thing. And if they wanted to find out more about Veterans for Peace, just go to our veteransforpeace.org.